Our reading today is taken from Philippians chapter 2. The attitude you should have is that one that Christ Jesus had. He always had the nature of God, but he did not think that by force he should try to remain equal with God. Instead of this, of his own free will, he gave up all he had and took the nature of a servant. He became like a human being and appeared in human likeness. He was humble and walked the path of obedience all the way to death, his death on the cross. For this reason, God raised him to the highest place above and gave him the name that is greater than any other name. And so, in honor of the name of Jesus, all beings in heaven, on earth, and in the world below will fall on their knees, and all will openly proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord.
In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. From the very beginning, the Word was with God. Through him, God made all things. Not one thing in all creation was made without him. The Word was the source of life, and this life brought light to people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has never put it out. The Word became a human being, and full of grace and truth, lived among us. We saw his glory, the glory which he revealed as the Father's only Son. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Does it matter who we think Jesus is? Does it really matter who we think Jesus is? Great. Right, I'll go and sit down now. Well done, James. Well, hopefully you all be in agreement with James at the end of this. Today we're continuing our journey in this Lent through this thing called the Nicene Creed. We normally say about halfway through our service before communion. What we're doing in our services at the moment is we're going to say at the end of our service as we go out into the world. And we're exploring what it means for us in terms of what we believe as Christians. Those are the two big words that come up again and again in the Nicene Creed. We believe. In fact, we've called our Lent course this year, We Believe, as we explore what that means. But today, and this Wednesday, we're focusing on who Jesus is. Was he just a good man? Was he a prophet? Did he never even exist? Or was he something much more? I'd like to ask you just to think for a moment and maybe chat with the person next to you. What do you think of when you hear the name Jesus? What do you think of? What do you feel when you hear the name Jesus? Chat 30 seconds, maybe chat with the person next to you. What do you think or what do you feel when you hear the name Jesus? That's excellent. You know, those are all really good answers, but how do we come to those answers, do you think? How do we know for certain that he is humble, that he does love the children, that he has power, that he's a friend we can talk to? How do we know all these things? Well, we know them in the same way the people who wrote the Nicene Creed knew that, is by looking at the Bible. So we go to the Bible to discover who Jesus is. Otherwise, we could just make him up and he wouldn't be true. But we look at the Bible that tells us who Jesus truly is. And that's what the church was doing. That was a long time ago. 1,700 years ago. That's a long time, isn't it? That's a long time. But that's how long ago all these different bishops from all around the church came together, and they had an important job to do. Now, there was a man called Arius who was from Egypt, and he'd been teaching some different things about who Jesus is. He was teaching that Jesus was less than God. He was teaching that Jesus had been made, that there was a time when Jesus didn't exist. And with that, it was beginning to split the whole church in two. Was Jesus God, or was he just a good person? And how are you going to decide that? So they got all these people together in this place called Nicaea, and they said, we need to look at the Bible to decide who Jesus really is. We need to come up with a statement to say who he is. Is he just a good man, or is he God? So they came up with this thing called the Nicene Creed, which basically tells us who God is. Let me just read it to you quickly. It'll come up on the screen. It says, we believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. Now, the people there, they didn't just make that up. They just thought, oh, yes, that would be a nice thing for us to say. They said, we need to look at the Bible to see what it says about Jesus and compile it all down into one prayer. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to be investigating these claims today and thinking about who we say about Jesus. So if someone asks us, who is Jesus? Well, these are three things that we can say about Jesus that the Creed tells us about, but more importantly, the Bible tells us about too. And the first is this. We've got some actions. We like doing a bit of signing, so get your hands ready. We can do some signing. Is Jesus is fully man. Now, that's meant to be a beard. I like discovering that. Man. Okay, so Jesus is fully man. That's the first thing. Now, why is it good that Jesus is fully man? Well, think about it for a moment. That means that Jesus, he understands us. He knows what it's... Yes, he knows what it's like to be one of us. He knows what it's like to be a child and to grow up and to be an adolescent, to be a teenager, young adult, and to grow into adulthood. Jesus knows what that's like. In fact, that's what it says in our first reading that Chris read for us in Philippians 2:7. It says, he, Jesus, became like a human being and appeared in human likeness. So Jesus became a real human being with a heart and a brain and lungs and blood. Jesus became just like us. But Jesus was different in the way that he became a human. You see, Jesus, we're going to go on to see, had existed before that. He existed for eternity. But he gave up everything that he had to become a human. Now, most of us, we don't have much of a choice in whether we become alive or not, do we? That's just something that happens to us. We don't choose whether, I think I might become a human now. That's not our choice. But for Jesus, it was. He gave up everything he had. He gave up the perfect life in heaven where there's no bad things and came to become a human. And that means that he understands all our struggles. Jesus, he understands our pain. He understands when we are sad, what that feels like. He understands temptation, when we're tempted to do things that are wrong, because he experienced them too. Jesus is fully man. Goes on to say this in Philippians 2:8. He was humble. There we go. Someone said that he was humble. That's right. It says that in the Bible. He was humble and walked the path of obedience. That means he did what his Father wanted him to do all the way to his death on the cross. Now, I want you to just imagine going back in your time machine 700 years ago to medieval England, and you meet the king, who lives in a wonderful castle or palace and full of all kind of gold and beautiful tapestries and paintings, and doesn't have to worry about anything. He just clicks his fingers and food is instantly brought to him. Well, imagine the king taking off his crown, taking off his cloak, and then walking down into the village throwing on maybe an old sack or something like that, and just going and living life with the villagers, giving up all the wonderful things he had and just doing life with the people. Well, that's a bit like a picture of what Jesus did for us, although it's even more extreme how far Jesus came to be with us. But because Jesus is fully human, he knows what it's like to face the things that we face in our everyday challenges too. He knows what it's like to grow up, how hard it can be. Maybe you've experienced hard things in your life recently too. Well, he knows what it's like to go through those things. He knows what it's like to face pressure, or maybe just feeling that you're not good enough. He knows what it's like to feel lonely. Jesus knows that. Jesus knew what it was like to grow up. He knew what it was like to bang your toe. Jesus knew what it was like when people laughed at you. And Jesus knew what it was like to feel completely on your own. But even though Jesus was fully man, he never turned away from God. That's how Jesus is different to every one of us. He always loved God and loved others perfectly. He is the perfect person, the perfect man. So that's the first thing. Let's sign again. Jesus is fully man. The second thing this tells us is that Jesus is fully God. Jesus is fully God. And that means that not only does Jesus know what it's like to go through hard things, he has the power to do something about it. He has the power to save us. Look at the beginning of John 1. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Now that word, is a nickname for Jesus, because God spoke through Jesus. So he is the Word with a capital W. Jesus is the Word. And it's saying here that in the very beginning, if you go back to before the creation of the universe and the stars and planets and all that kind of stuff, if you go all the way back to the beginning of eternity, Jesus had always existed. So there was never a time where Jesus didn't exist, just like the Father and the Holy Spirit. God always existing in a relationship of love. And the creed goes on to tell us this. It says this is one of the things that other guy, Arius, got wrong. It says that he was God from the very beginning, just like the Father. And it says this. He says he was not made, but he is of one being with the Father. So that means that he is fully God, just like the Father is fully God. He's always existed. But this is where it gets confusing. Jesus, the Son of God, has always existed and always will, but he wasn't always a human. That only happened when he came to be born. The fancy word is the incarnation. Do you remember all the way back, we're thinking at Christmas, about how when the angel came to Mary and said, "You are going to give birth to God's Son"? Well, from that moment when she had the baby inside of her, the very first second, Jesus became a human. He became one of us, even though he'd always been God. And he grew up, he lived a life, and he went back to heaven. One day he'll return. But he went back to heaven, yes, as God, and now as man as well. Now there is a man, there's one of us, a human being in heaven, ready to accept us. But why did he come down? Why did God, who had the perfect life, choose to come down to heaven, to a world where you can bang your head and stub your toe? Why did he do that? Well, the creed, again, it tells us. He did this for us and for our salvation. That's why he came down from heaven. So his miracles, like we were saying, his resurrection and his power over sin and death show us that he's more than just a good person. Good people are great, but good people don't come back to life when they die. Good people can't heal the sick or raise the dead or walk on water. Jesus is not just a good person, he is God. And only God can save us. That's why this is good. Only God can forgive us of the bad things that we do to him. If we sin against God, well, there's no point than some other good person. They can't forgive us. Only God can forgive us. It says that in Mark chapter 2. Only God can forgive us. And that's why Jesus has the power to forgive us. Maybe think about it like this. Imagine you are trying to cook a really fancy meal. Maybe it's your friend or family member's birthday. So I'm going to do like this really hard, really brilliant meal. But you're going to do it all by yourself. You want it to be a surprise. But you look at this recipe and it goes on for pages and pages. Think, oh my goodness, this is so complicated. What am I going to do? And you realize you've hardly got any of the ingredients at all. But just as you're about to give up and throw all the ingredients in the bin and go and order KFC or something, your best friend shows up. And your best friend, not only do they know the recipe off by heart, but they've brought all the spare ingredients with them as well. Together you can create something delicious, something wonderful. And that's a little bit about how like God is in our lives. He knows the things that we need and he supplies everything that we require to live the best life. But this also helps us if we're ever feeling tempted to disobey maybe our parents or our teachers or to say something mean to someone that we love and should be kind to. Remember that Jesus can help us to fight those temptations, because not only does he know what it's like to face them as a man, but he's got the power to do something about it because he is God. So you might just take a moment each morning this week, just the first thing you do when you wake up, ask Jesus for strength and for guidance, for help in life. You might do something else by write something down on a post-it note and stick it on the bathroom mirror. Jesus, help me to make good choices today. Just that little thing could make such a difference to your life. So that's the second thing, that Jesus is God. And the third and final thing is that Jesus is Lord. Jesus, let's all do this, shall we? Jesus is Lord. Great. So what should we do if Jesus is both man and God? Well, the answer is we should follow him. We should follow him. And that's what we read in Philippians 2:10-11. In honor of the name of Jesus, all beings in heaven. So it's talking about like all the angels in heaven, but it's talking about everyone on earth and in the world below will fall on their knees and openly proclaim that Jesus is Lord. Everyone falling on your knees. When you fall on your knees, it shows that you're standing in front of someone who is more important than you. You might do that in front of a king or a queen or someone who is very important. You kneel. And it's saying that one day, everyone is going to kneel. So that means that Jesus isn't just someone that we admire. Oh, yes, Jesus. Oh, yes, quite interesting. But he is Lord. So we want to get down on our knees and worship him. That's what we see in the life of the disciples who met Jesus, who followed him. One of the most famous ones, Peter, who even walked on water with Jesus. What an amazing thing that might have felt like. But when Peter was focused on Jesus, he was able to do something amazing, wasn't he? When he looked at these waves around him, he began to sink. When he took his eyes off the Lord, he began to sink amongst all the waves. But when he had his eyes fixed on Jesus, he was able to stand. And that's a picture of what life is like following Jesus. When our eyes are fixed on him, all sorts of bad things can be happening in life. The waves seem to be splashing against us. Illness, depression, struggles with isolation, loneliness, addiction, whatever it is. And it can feel, if we're looking at those things, they're crashing down over us. But when our eyes are fixed on Jesus, we're able to stand above the waves. Isn't that the kind of life that we want? Isn't that the kind of life that our world needs? He helps us to stay afloat, whatever happens. Now, not everyone thinks that Jesus is man and God and certainly treat him as Lord. There's a lot of people in our world who don't. But the Bible says that one day everyone will see and know the truth. The important job that we've got to do then is two things, making sure that we are trusting in him, that we go to Jesus as Lord, fix our eyes on him. We kneel now out of joy and worship, not out of fear. We look to him, but we want to help others to look to him too, to trust in him, fully man, fully God, as the Lord. So let me challenge you today to think about that. Have you said yes to Jesus being your Lord? Have you explored what that means? If you're not sure, well, we're running an Alpha course in May. It'd be great for you to come along and think about what it means to say yes to Jesus and experience a whole new different way of living. And if you have said yes, but there's some part of your life that perhaps you're holding back from handing over to him, that you want control on it, maybe you're scared or you're worried that he might make you do things that you don't want to do, well, remember that Jesus is good and that he loves you and you can trust him. And it's always best to talk to him about those things. That's what prayer is. It's what we're going to do that Claire and James are going to help us with in just a moment. We're going to pray to him. He understands what it's like. We don't talk to a distant God who doesn't know what it's like. We talk to one who became just like us, but has the power to do something about it. So let's just recap on those last things, shall we? Let's get our signing hands working. So Jesus is fully man, Jesus is fully God, and Jesus is Lord. Amen.